this scripture we studied in James 5, verse 6, it says, "You have condemned and killed the just, and it doth not resist you." I want to look at this word for just.
What verse is that? 5 what?
Chapter 5, verse 6. But it's related to the scripture in 2 Timothy. So let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 24. "The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." So there's something going on here. The idea that we have murdered the just one and he does not resist us. That's why this "in meekness teaching those that oppose themselves and recover out of the snare of the devil, who taketh them captive by him at his will." So this is kind of important, because we can be taken captive by his will, and we really don't even know it, because it seems so familiar. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? All right, so we're going to look at a bunch of those. Let's go to Matthew 13. We'll start. I'll try to go in order. So Matthew 13. This is the parable of the net. So in verse 47, starting verse 47. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Now, the only one that is just is Christ. He is the just one. In most of the places where it talks about the just one, the just is capitalized in King James Version. But we are among those that believe that all men died with Christ at the cross. "The love of Christ constraineth us, for we thus judge that if one died for all, then all are dead." And so all we have left is either the evil one or Jesus. The evil one is the minions of Satan. And that's why we studied that one scripture, that if Satan hadn't been defeated, then we couldn't have been saved. because once he defeated the strong man, then he can invade a strong man's house or temple, which is us. You understand that? This Satan, if he wasn't defeated, we would be hopeless. But his minions, they're really God's workers, because the purpose of the evil one is to test or to be the antagonism which finishes or completes the test onto perfection. Remember, perfection is just teleos, and it means fully tested. And so we have to recognize that this mystery of God has a place for the evil one, because it's what gives the test. Either the evil one in you or the evil one in the world. That's why you will be hated of all men, because all men are of the evil one. So am I communicating, or if I'm not, please talk to me.
I just saw something that I think communicates perfectly. Satan was before Christ, in a sense. And he's the type of Cain and Abel. Cain would be Satan, Abel would be Christ. And even though Cain killed Abel, God said, don't kill him, let him go. And then he pronounced some judgments on Cain. But the spirit of Cain, I think, is what I'm hearing you talk about when you say minions, that spirit of Cain resides in our flesh, always wanting to kill our brother or come against.
And always wanting to kill the just one.
Yeah.
Who does not resist.
Yeah.
Now this is a huge deal, because that's why we can be taken captive by him at his will, because Christ doesn't resist. And the reason he doesn't is so the test can be complete. So we can be made perfect, i.e. fully Christ, and we be gone, the flesh be gone, the flesh be seen as dead. But it's easy to see, to say that it's dead, but it's not easy to see when he resurrects himself. He resurrects himself from the deadly head wound, and he did that immediately after Christ's crucifixion. And so now we have this position. Again, back to James. You have lived, no, verse 6. You have condemned and killed the just one, or just, and he doth not resist you. Now this is why in the kingdom of God there had to be this evil one, so that the just could be brought to perfection. And so in the same way that Christ, after his baptism, he continued, and then in the new, different kind of temptation, it was a temptation that caused him to be crucified. But the temptation is always self for self in some way, as opposed to self for others. And that's the dividing line. That's the revelation, if you will. That's why when we started the vow of poverty, it had nothing to do with money. The vow of poverty was an issue that simply said, whatever you need to use that I own, you can use. And there goes all down and all the way till you give everything. Does everybody remember that?
It was kind of progressive.
Whatever
you need to use, and then whatever you need to own.
Whatever you have. Yeah. And then whatever I don't have that you need, I'll help you get it.
Right.
And so hopefully that's the basis on which we have lived these years. Whatever you need that I have, you can use. Whatever you need to own that I own, you can have. And whatever you need that I don't have, I'll help you get it. Now that's hopefully the way we, as I said, the way we have lived all these years. Now there's all kinds of times when we don't do that, but prayerfully when we don't do that, we seek repentance. So let's go to this more. Did we reach? We just read Matthew 13, didn't we? Or didn't we?
Yeah.
We did read it?
Yeah, 47 through 50. Yeah.
Okay, let's go to... Let's go to Book of Acts, chapter 7, first. Chapter 7, let's start in 49. This is God talking. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is... Well, wait a minute. 7 is chapter 7 is Paul before the Sanhedrin. And then they kill him after in a few minutes, but... in verse 43, he's quoting, "Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What house will you build, saith the Lord?"
49.
Huh?
You said 43, it's 49.
Oh, 49, I'm sorry. I'm not doing too well, as may be discerned, so bear with me. Starting again, 49. "Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What house will you build? What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom you have now, the betrayers and murderers." That's again. It's the Just One. Is whom they killed, and he did not resist. And the same thing happens to the Just One in us. The evil one continually tries to kill, and he doth not resist. Now, we want a God that wouldn't do that. We want a God that would always make Christ in us victorious. But we know from the scriptures that we still oppose ourselves in many, many ways. And when we oppose ourselves, we kill the Just One. Everybody see that?
Oh, yeah. Seeing that a lot of people that were hearing this were that thought, well, I didn't have any part in that. I didn't kill Jesus. And it was those people over there.
And yeah, so it was those other people that did that.
Yeah, so there's more and more, they got more and more pissed off at Stephen. And as he was talking to them, they didn't see what they do all the time inwardly. But
They killed the just one. Let's look at Acts 3 to see who this just one is, who this evil one is. No, Romans 3. Let me find it. Yeah, Romans 3, starting in verse 10. And this applies to the human race, but the human race is the evil one, the instead of Christ. 666 is the number written on his forehead, and the number written on his right hand, because he doesn't enter the rest. He doesn't cease from his own labors. Now this is God's description, or Paul's description, of you and I after the flesh. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's kind of a bad description, but that is the description of the human race, or what's called the human race. And they're constantly, believers are constantly, as often as he desires, taken captive by him, by this evil one, at his will. And we don't even know it. But the simple test is it self for me and mine, or is it self for others? Amen. All right, let's go to... We just read Acts 7, right?
Yeah.
Go to Acts... Now we're going to go backwards, I'm sorry. Acts 3. This is Peter talking to all of the people in the temple on the day of Pentecost. Starting verse 12. No, this is not on the day of Pentecost. This is one of the quick days afterwards. Verse 12, and when Peter saw it, he answered it to the people. And what did he see? Well, we have to start earlier. I'm sorry. I wish my mind were working. No, I don't. Chapter 3, verse 1. Let's start in verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Can you imagine that scene? And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John healed. I'm sorry. And as the man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "You men of Israel, why marvel you at this, or why look you earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, who was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One, the Just One, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God had raised from the dead, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." But anyway, again, it uses the Just One, or just, or only Jesus. We'll look at one more, and then we're probably going to quit for today, because I'm getting a little woozy or something. Go to Acts 22. This is him testifying, Paul testifying of his conversion. And so, let's start verse 6. "And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go unto Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of the light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came unto Damascus. And the one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. On that same hour I looked upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will and see the just one. See that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be a witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away sin, calling on the name of the Lord. So again, in this incredible Paul calls him the just one. I can never read this without remembering that the hotel I stayed at in Damascus, just 20 or 30 yards from the hotel, was a sign that said, this is where Saul of Tarsus received, or saw the light, or something like that. I can't remember what it said, but it was in Arabic, and somebody had to translate it for me, and so I forgot. Can you see that when we continue on in our own self for self, or self for ours, that we are murdering the just one, and he doth not resist? That's why I say so often, he cannot occupy where you are. That's why repentance is the only way. We'll hopefully do more of this tomorrow. Any thoughts? Any comments? It's hard for us to conceive of a God who would allow us to be taken captive at the will of the evil one. And we don't even know it. That's why the preaching of the cross is the power of God. Because the power of God is released at our repentance. And as the repentance goes deeper and deeper and deeper, finally the just one is revealed in you. Amen? All right. Everybody agree? Everybody amen? Amen.